You're listening to Talk of the Rock with your host, Kayla DeRoche, and I'm here with three individuals, two of which are related to each other. Can we start with the two related individuals on the side?
My name is Jennifer Menjivar, and I'm the president of the Kodiak Teen Court Board.
My name is Stephanie Menjivar, and I am the bar vice president of Kodiak Teen Court.
All right. What grade are you guys in?
I am a senior.
And I am a freshman.
Okay, and you're sisters, aren't you?
Yes.
Yeah, you are. It's so cool. I just think it's awesome that you guys are involved in the same group and that you're sisters. That shows some, already shows you're good diplomats. You can get along with each other. And what is your name, sir?
My name is Andrew Ott, and I am the legal advisor for Kodiak Teen Court.
Okay, so could you introduce what Teen Court is?
Sure. Teen Court is a diversionary panel that is sanctioned by the Alaska statutes for dealing with youth offenders before they become adults. And there are 12 such programs around the state of Alaska, Kodiak being one of them. And they span from Ketchikan all the way through up to Nome. And we are very busy with dealing with cases. But the primary gist of things is that we deal with individuals that are between 12 and 18 years old. These fine young people to the other side here, the sisters, Jennifer and Stephanie, are teen attorneys. And they are the ones who deal with the cases that come to Kodiak Teen Court. Kinds of cases that we get are minor in possession of alcohol, tobacco, some criminal cases that are referred from Division of Juvenile Justice. And we deal with these cases as if we were real live attorneys in the adult world.
All right. Well, to start from the very beginning, this is an Alaska program?
Yes, it is.
Okay. Could you talk a little bit about how it started?
Sure. In 1995, our current Superior Court Judge, Steve Cole, was in private practice and came up with the idea with a bunch of other like-minded people from the community here in Kodiak to basically form a nonprofit organization that ended up being called Kodiak Teen Court. At that time, in 1995, the only other program that was in existence was Anchorage Youth Court. So we were pretty much on the forefront of trying to create something for our young people here in Kodiak. It's been in existence for the last 20 years, and it's been thriving. So thanks to Judge Cole and very many different adults that kind of contributed to setting things up. And, of course, also thanks to many of the young people that have kind of contributed to being members of the organization and improving the organization as we've gone along in time.
What are some of the major ways it's changed since it first began?
Well, one of the things that Judge Cole keeps reminding us is that when they started, they used to take on felony cases. So cases that were someone, if they were an adult, would be potentially looking at over a year in jail and over a $10,000 fine, very serious offense. So that's something that youth court or Kodiak Teen Court used to do, burglary, theft crimes that were over $500 at the time. Those are all felonies. So those were the kinds of the things that Judge Cole was doing at the time with his, with the youth attorneys. So now we tend to focus in on misdemeanors and status offenses, like I said, with a minor in possession of alcohol or tobacco.
What have you observed is the benefit of youth judging youth, especially with misdemeanors, something that's not so heavy as what you just described?
Right. Well, even if you get into the hot and heavy, the more serious felony cases, the benefit of youth-to-youth contact and adjudication and dealing with each other is very, very big. The model is that youth offenders are going to be more open to hearing people in their own age group as to whether or not they'd be attorneys or judges passing sentence and judgment versus their counterparts as adults. We all can remember in our youth that we would just would not listen to the adults that would go one in one ear and out the other. But I think we believe, and certainly with this model, that the youth offenders are going to listen to the youth attorneys and judges.
All right. And so you both were speaking to me before about getting involved with the club just recently. Mm-hmm. Can you tell me how you found out about the club and how you became interested in joining?
When we moved here last year in September, I personally heard of the club through Deborah, who was a past member in Teen Court. And I started talking to her, and she started explaining to me what goes into Teen Court. And I've always been interested and involved in clubs such as this one, but we've never actually dealt with real cases that affected the minors and the community, which was something that really interests me. And for Stephanie, if she'd like to speak on.
I found out about Teen Court when I think the president came to my classroom and explained what Teen Court was, and they explained that you get credit out of it, so I was interested about that part.
Yeah, and what years are you guys in?
I am a senior this year.
I am a freshman this year.
Okay, and you're 14 and 16?
Yes.
Okay, so did you exert your influence over your sister in any way?
With most things in school, I dragged my sister into all the clubs because it's neat to have a sibling in it. You're both impacting someone else's life through your efforts in that club, whether it is Teen Court or any other club. But Teen Court really has an effect on the individuals that go through the cases, and it has a ripple effect on the community.
And do you talk about this at home? Does it kind of bleed into home life as well?
Well, with cases, we don't discuss it at home because of a confidentiality issue, but we do talk about any fundraising events that we have or any CLEs, which is continued legal education activities that we have. We do discuss those, but not the cases at home.
All right. And where are you guys from?
We're from Stockton, California.
All right. So when did you move here?
Last September.
Wow. So how do you find Kodiak so far as Californian individuals to Kodiak students?
Well, here it is closer. I personally know more students in the school and know more people in the community than in California. And I feel that because everyone is so interconnected with each other, it's the impact that you have on one person really affects other people as well.
All right. How many cases have you done so far?
I do not remember exactly the number, but we've done a couple cases on defense and prosecution.
And are these students or minors that you know personally, or are they people from other communities? Who are they?
For myself, the defendants that have been in our cases, I've seen them in school sometimes. Other times I do not know the person, but we treat all cases alike in the sense that we do not judge the individual. We see the case and we work on restorative justice.
Mm-hmm. What are the roles that you take in a court?
As a member of Teen Court?
Mm-hmm.
Well, you can take part in being the attorneys on defense and prosecution, and you can also take part in bailiff and judge.
Okay, and what kind of training do you get for each one? And also, is there one that follows another, or are they all kind of on the same plane?
We all start with the recruitment, which is happening soon. We attend the class, which is taught by Mr. Ott, and we learn about the justice system and all the steps that go into that. And then we get sworn in as attorneys at the end of that course. And from there, you can partake in being a prosecution, defense attorney, or bailiff. And to become a judge, you need to take judge's training and also be sworn in. And you need to be voted by the board to be allowed to become a judge.
Are you both in the same class? Is there, like, one class for youth court, or is there...
You take the class in November, and it continues on for a period of time. After that class, then you become a member. And from there, you don't have to take the class anymore, but you are involved in the cases that come up and any activities that we have with Kodiak Teen Court.
Okay, and what does the training involve? What points do you try to cover?
Well, first of all, I think many of the students that come in are middle school students, eighth graders. So we start recruiting at eighth grade. You can become a member and so on and all the way through your senior year. what we do is we try to start from the beginning as to what the rule of law is, talk about generalities with the importance of law, what the Constitution is, both the federal and Alaska's. And then we get into criminal law, and then we talk about criminal procedure. What I do is I not only do the courses and teach the course, but I also bring in guest speakers. So I bring in the district attorney, public defender, police officers. Two of them, the police officers will talk about constitutional issues, and the other one will talk about sobriety and being intoxicated and what it looks like. Then we all hands-on kind of classes where the students are involved with questioning the guest speakers, and guest speakers are doing some demonstration of things. So trying to get these students involved and interested. And then we do a lot of series of mock hearings in the courthouse where we have a script of a case where someone's done, you know, some wrong, and we've gone walked through it, and we try to teach the roles of what each of the defense attorneys do and what each of the prosecutors do, what the role of the bailiff is in these things. And a lot of people like the bailiff because it's fairly simple. And then judges, what the role of the judges are. And we don't have just one judge. We have three judges that make a decision on a sentence or a measure of guilt or innocence. And that is something that we start teaching these students during this course. At the end of the course, we do actually do a bar exam, and it's closed book exam that we basically do for 3 hours. And a lot of kids have never experienced a 3-hour exam before, but a lot of them get it done, I think, in an hour, hour and a half. Upon passing, then they're actually sworn in by our Superior Court judge as to upholding the both the U.S. and state constitutions as attorneys.
I think I saw you nodding before on the bailiff comment. Do you have a favorite position?
I've actually not taken the bailiff position. I went straight into attorneys. But for members who are not completely sure about participating in the attorney portion, they can take part in bailiff and see how the cases, how the attorneys reflect on the cases and what the process is of that case.
Have you been in the bailiff position?
No, I mostly spend my time as a prosecutor.
So you've been an attorney and you've been a prosecutor. Have you done the same case together?
We have done cases together on the opposite ends of cases. Yeah. And we do a couple cases on one night. So she does one case and then I'm working on another one, but I do my case after her. So mostly on case nights, we're both doing something, not necessarily on the same case, but it has happened before where we're on the same case.
So what's the position of prosecutor like?
You basically just look over the facts and you come up with a sentence recommendation, and I find it to be fairly simple compared to the other side.
Well, I think it really depends on the case itself. Because for some defendants, they have more pros and against cons, or they have more cons against pros. But it really depends on how you reflect upon the case and what you focus on about that person. If they're really trying to make a change in their life, then as a defense attorney, you would speak of that and you would speak about what they're doing or planning to do to make that change. And as prosecution, you look at the case of the facts, what occurred, not necessarily we work on restorative justice, which means that we're trying to show the individual that what they did was not correct and that they should work towards fixing that and going towards a better path for their life.
Mm-hmm. And what kind of offenses do you see come in?
We see misdemeanors and we see minor in possession of alcohol, controlled substance, and cases such as those.
And so what sentences have you given?
For some of the cases we do, for example, community service, essays, we do apologies as well, and it all truly depends on what occurred during that event that we reflect upon and decide our sentencing recommendations.
Is there a case that stands out to you guys?
It was on the first case night. The second case, the defendant really wanted to show that he was willing to make a change in his life. And with defendants that come through teen court, you have some that are reluctant, that don't take something seriously. And then you have the defendants who really want to make a difference for themselves and want to make that change. So it varies from time to time with defendants.
Mm-hmm. And if these offenders weren't going to youth court, where would they be going in the judicial system?
Well, they would be in adult court. For the MIPs, they would be before the magistrate and going through that process there. When they are initially charged with, let's say, a minor in possession of alcohol and it's a first offense, they will go to the district court, to the magistrate, and at that point in time, the magistrate will give them the option of whether or not they want to have their sentence to be done by Kodiak Teen Court. Then if they do, then the district court will then go ahead and forward that case up to teen court, and then teen court will man the case with the attorneys and so on, meet up with the client. And so the defendant at that point has already pled guilty or no contest to the MIP charge, and then it's just a matter of sentencing. And that's what teen court would do with that case. As to misdemeanor cases, so criminal cases, those come from the Division of Juvenile Justice. And juvenile justice will screen those cases to determine whether or not that defendant is amenable to Kodiak Teen Court. It may be a first-time offense for the youth. It may be, but it's not a status offense like an MIP or a tobacco case. It's something more or less of maybe a mixed six, a controlled substance in a sixth-degree marijuana. It could be theft. It could be what's the other cases that we end up doing? It could be burglary. I mean, it could be any number of
vandalism.
Cases. What's that?
Vandalism.
Vandalism, yes, mm-hmm. That's right. So these kinds of cases can come from Division of Juvenile Justice, who we work very closely with. And then we then will do a criminal complaint, so the prosecutor actually has to do a complaint as to what they're being charged with. And then we have to determine whether or not they'll be arraigned. So they'll be arraigned, they'll enter guilty, not guilty, and then move forward from there. If they enter guilty or no contest, then we move to sentencing, and they'll be getting a sentence. Which means that the $20 question here is, well, what happens if a defendant says, not guilty, I want a trial? Then we will set up for a trial.
Okay, and so if a person is offered the chance to go to youth court with their offense and they choose not to do that, they go with the alternate option.
Right. There are two ways. I mean, if they choose not to do it, then they stay in the adult system, so with the MIPs in the district court. And then if it's a juvenile case, it will stay in the state court system or stay with the Division of Juvenile Justice, how they want to deal with it.
So what kind of sentences does the judicial system usually dole out to offenders who are minors?
Well, in criminal cases, it could be...
And we've got to excuse our students at this point because they have to go to school.
Imagine that.
Thanks, you guys.
Hi.
Thanks for coming by. Good luck in your next case.
Thank you.
Thanks for spending your lunch here. We appreciate it. Bye.
So the question was, the kinds of sentences they would get could be... One, they could be adjusted out, meaning that they just do some either a fine or an apology letter or something of that nature, similar to what we do in teen court. And then they are let go to the custody of their parents. Other times there may be where they need to be on probation with the Division of Juvenile Justice. So they have a juvenile probation officer here, Mr. Tim Luther, who does that. And so they would be more answerable to that. A more formal setting would be that they actually get a petition filed against them in adult court. They actually have to be arraigned in adult court. And those kinds of sentences flowing from that could be that they're going to spend time in McLaughlin Youth Center, which is a detention center. There are a variety of detention centers in the state, but McLaughlin is the worst place to be, I guess, as far as offender status is concerned. They can stay in there until they're 19 years old, depending on the offense and how often they've been in the system.
What kinds of things do they do at McLaughlin?
Well, it's not what they do. It's a place for putting young people in. It's not a bad place. What it is a place to put detained youth who seem to need a little bit more guidance and control in a controlled environment versus being left out in school environment where they're not under so much control and supervision.
And so what kind of dialogue do you maintain with the parents of some of these kids who come in out of the courts?
Well, let's say they come in out of teen court. There's another adult who Darlene Turner, who is the program manager, and she is the first person to meet with the proposed defendant, so the defendant who's going to be a candidate to be part of teen court, and then with the parent. So it's the youth and the parent, and they say, she gives them an overview about the teen court program, what we will do, what they can expect, who they will be in contact with, the lawyers and so on, and that everything that we do from here on out will be strictly confidential. It will not leave this building or this room. And the students are they learn about the confidentiality. It's very important. That's why when they go back to school, they can't talk about, I had so-and-so as a client. Can't do that, right? So that's that process there. And then once they're sentenced, then Ms. Turner will then make sure they follow through with their sentence. Because if they, for example, in a minor in possession of alcohol case, then they have to do 25 hours of community work service and maybe in some other thing, an essay on the impacts of alcohol on youth, do youth brain. Then if they don't follow through with that, then Ms. Turner will then report that back to the district court, and then the case is referred back to adult court, and then they face the consequences of that.
So you are about to do recruiting, right?
Yes. October is our recruiting month. We start classes in November. First, we do classes Monday and Wednesday in the evenings, 6 to 8, at the Kodiak High School auditorium. I think it's going to be the Coral Pod this year. And it's a 10-week course, roughly. We will do swearing in by the end of January.
All right. And so if a student is listening and they want to get involved, who do they contact? What's your number?
Sure. The people that they should contact is Kodiak Teen Court. We're in the book. That's a phone book for those young people that might be listening and don't know what that is. Or contact 486-3550. We also have a Facebook page, so you can get on there, be a friend, and let us know that you want to be interested in. We maintain a list of people that are interested, phone numbers, contact information, and we'll get in contact with you folks as to when class starts.
And if they're a senior, can they still get involved?
Yes, absolutely. We've actually had some folks start very late. Jennifer started late since she's now a senior this year, but we've actually had someone come in as a senior that year, that fall, and then went ahead and did some cases before they graduated in spring.
All right. So we have a couple more minutes before
Sure.
we have to close up. So can you tell me a little bit about how you got involved in this program?
I was approached many years ago by Judge Cole, who then was in private practice, saying, hey, by the way, I'm getting kind of burnt out in this, and maybe, you know, I need some help here, and are you interested? At the time, I was not in the best situation as far as timing is concerned because I had young kids and so on. But I knew about the program and so on, and I let Steve know that I wasn't able to have the time commitment to do it. A couple other legal advisors stepped in, Matt St. John, who was in private practice at the time, and then Teresa Williams from him. And then I took over from Teresa when she had to leave the island. So it was kind of a full circle when it came back to my plate and said, are you interested? And then I kind of like, you know, let me see. And the schedule allowed me to get into it. It's a great program to get involved with, not only from a student's perspective, but from an adult perspective, too, because you're working with students who are both energetic in trying to help other students and wanting to learn about what it is they can do to try to make this a better place for all of us.
Yeah, I've been really impressed with speaking to the students. I've had the chance a couple of times now to do that, and there's impressive, interested kids. It's really great to speak with them.
Right.
So you've been listening to Talk of the Rock. You can also find this online. Thanks for listening.